All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to Northridge Community Church. If I haven't had the chance to greet you yet this morning, I'm Pastor Doug, and I'm so glad that you're here to worship Jesus with us. As always, it's our prayer that no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, we believe that Jesus will pursue you and meet you where you're at, but He never leaves you the same. If you'll invest in the journey of faith and knowing who Jesus is, and He'll change and transform your life. At Northridge, our mission, vision, and purpose is connecting in community with Jesus and each other. So if you'd like to find out more about what it means to be a part of the church here, there's a card on the back of your program this morning. You fill that out with as much information as you're willing to give us and bring it back to the information table. We'll give you a small gift and then make a connection with you this week to find out how your experience was here at Northridge and to see if you have any questions about how we can serve you. So a couple weeks ago, or longer than that, I was on a sabbatical and I was in Fremont, Michigan on a lake, and I had the opportunity to spend some time kayaking and just enjoying time in nature. And one of the days was really nice, so I thought I would take the kayak across the lake. You know, when you're standing on the shore and you look across the lake, it doesn't look very far, right? So I get in the kayak, and I kayaked all the way across the lake, and according to my GPS, it was over a mile and a half. It took me like 30 minutes to get to the other side, which was great. It was an enjoyable time. I turned around the kayak, and I went to head back home, and I noticed something. I couldn't tell where home was. I was a mile and a half away, and I thought to myself, I don't recognize any of those houses. I don't know what direction to go. So I just started paddling, right? You start paddling and heading in that direction until I could faintly recognize the house that I was staying at. Because I wasn't really familiar with it. I didn't really see the house from that far away on the lake. So I just started paddling until I could finally recognize where the house was at, and head toward the house. I felt much better once I was able to do that. And then, during the journey, I was watching out for other boats on the lake, making sure to avoid them. The lake was really clear, so I was taking time out to look for and watch the fish below me. There were some ducks and things on the lake that were really cool that I've never seen before, so I was watching them. And I noticed something on the way back. That every time I took my eyes off of the house and where I was headed, I wandered off the path and would have to redirect myself toward the house, recalibrate my navigation. Every time I was distracted by a boat or an animal or spent some time looking in the water, I noticed that I wasn't heading toward the house. Now, if you think about it, our faith journey can be much like that, can it? We want to go home. And for some of us, we're so far away that we really can't recognize what direction home is. I want to encourage you to just start paddling. Just start heading that way until you can recognize it. And there's some of us that do know where home is at, but, you know, life gets busy, life gets hectic, and we get distracted. And all of a sudden we look and we're not heading towards the place where we want to go. Our spiritual journey is difficult. All of us are in different places in our spiritual journey. But I want to challenge you today to recalibrate your faith. Recalibrate your faith journey. To focus on home. And today we're going to be talking about being gospel-centered and how focusing on Jesus and the gospel will help direct you on that journey. It will help keep you calibrated and headed in the right direction in your journey. Gospel is a word, if you're not familiar with it, in the Bible it means good news. In summary, it means the good news that Jesus, God in the flesh, came to earth. He sacrificed His life on the cross to pay the price for our sins. He rose again from the dead and provides us with eternal life. Today we're going to look a little bit closer at that gospel and what it means, how it's good news for us, and how no matter where we're at on our faith journey, it's important for us to be gospel-centered, to focus on the gospel message. See, a lot of people in their faith look at the gospel message as a door. And once they walk through the door, they feel comfortable and safe with where they're at. But I want to say that the gospel is much more than that. I've been a Christian for a long time, and I've noticed that on my journey, much like my kayak trip, that I can wander off the center. That I can keep my eyes get distracted, and I get focused on other things in life, and before I know it, I'm not centered on the gospel and who Jesus is and what he wants for my life. So today we're going to talk about that. Paul says it this way in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jews first and also Gentiles. Good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it's through faith that a righteous person has life. Paul tells the Colossian church that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing among them since the day they heard it. So here's a quick question for you. Is the gospel bearing fruit in your life? In other words, if you're focused and centered on the gospel, the good news of Jesus in your life, it should bear fruit. Healthy trees bear fruit. Healthy Christians bear fruit. Paul says to the church, I see the gospel bearing fruit and growing among you. And Peter teaches in 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 9 that a lack of ongoing transformation in our lives comes from forgetting what God has done for us in the gospel. It's wandering off. It's being distracted. It's not focusing on what Jesus has done for us. The gospel, the good news, is God's power at work within us. It's transformational. It's life-changing. And yet our lives at times, we feel so powerless. So today I want to share it with you. And I've provided the acrostic gospel on your outline because it's an easy way to remember the good news for yourself. And it's an easy way to share it with other people. So I want to challenge you to take some notes this morning. The first one, G, God created us to live in community with Him. God's original design and creation was to live in community with us. In that creation, God said everything was good. The world existed in perfect peace, stability, harmony, wholeness. We were created to worship, to love, to serve, and to live in harmony and enjoy God's love forever. Genesis 1 says we were made in God's image. It says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Notice the plurality of that. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Why is that plural? Well, it's plural because it's about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit lived in perfect community together before anything existed. And they created us to live in that community with them forever. God's design was that we would live with Him and each other in community. God didn't create us because He needed to have community with us. God created us to enjoy our community with each other. Matter of fact, in Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us and He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave Him great pleasure. God chose to create a family that could share His love together. In creating us, God gave us free will. He didn't force us to love Him. The O in gospel is the bad news. Our sins separate us from God. So living in free will, Adam and Eve decided to be deceived by the evil one, Satan, and chose to disobey God by eating from the tree in the middle of the garden. I want you to notice something. This is really relevant to what we're dealing with today. In a perfect world, God created Adam and Eve. He let them live in the garden, right? And enjoy God and enjoy each other together. But that freedom still had boundaries. The freedom that God gave Adam and Eve was to live with God in the garden. Live with each other in the garden. But don't eat from that tree. You see, real truth and real love always has boundaries. And the person who created those boundaries is God. Because He knows that when we cross those boundary lines, when we cross the guidelines that He has provided for us, we enter into a world that's called sin. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They chose to disobey God. They ate from the tree. And Genesis 3:23 says, "The Lord banished Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden." Sin entered the world, and because of that, it broke our relationship with God. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but since sin has entered into the world and broken our relationship with God, it's also broken our relationships. It doesn't take really that much to see how broken our relationships are. Perfect community is no longer possible. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned, that we all fall short of God's glorious standard. But here is more bad news. Sin brings about two drastic consequences into our lives. First, sin enslaves us. We have a desire within us to worship something, to focus on something. And because of our sinful nature, we tend to wander off focusing on God and Jesus and what He has for us. And we decide to focus on other things in life because we think they will bring us peace and harmony and wholeness. And yet they don't. They end up enslaving us. Second, sin brings condemnation. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." You see, sin always has consequences. Whether it's your sin or sin from somebody in the family, it will have consequences in their life. And whether we like it or not, their sin will also have consequences in our life. Sin brings condemnation. Sin brings death. The weird thing about it is we deserve to be punished for our sin. Oftentimes we don't think that we have really that bad. It doesn't deserve that bad of a punishment. But the Bible says because of our sin, we are condemned to die. Sins, the S in gospel, cannot be removed by good deeds. No matter how hard we try, we can't meet God's holy standard. See, God's standard for heaven is perfection. God's standard for heaven is holiness. In order for us to live forever with God in heaven, we have to be holy. We have to be perfect. And it doesn't take long for any of us to really look at our own lives and go, "Wow, I missed the mark on that one." No matter how hard I try to be good, no matter how hard I try to be holy, I fall short. I blow it. We have this disease in us called sin that just constantly pulls us away from God, right? And leads us to death. Well, think of it this way. God cannot allow sinful people into heaven. Here's why. Because the minute God allows sinful people into heaven, it's not heaven anymore, right? If God allows sin into heaven, then it's no longer a perfect place. So God's standard for heaven is perfection. Our problem is no matter how hard we try, we can't achieve that. And Paul talks a little bit about that in Romans 3. He says, "Can we boast then that we've done anything to be accepted by God?" No. Because our acquittal is not based on our good deeds. There's nothing that we can do to achieve perfection. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. He says to Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 9, salvation's not a reward for the good things that we have done. That way we can't really boast about it. See, the problem is that a lot of us think this way. well, I'm better than so-and-so, so I'm okay. See, the problem there is we're comparing ourselves to the wrong person, the wrong people. The minute we start thinking that we're better than this person or that person, we're off center. We're off the gospel-centered life. We need to continue to compare ourselves to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who is holy and the one who is perfect. I know that's hard to do, because when we compare ourselves to Jesus, immediately we come up with many different things that we're not like Jesus. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. P and gospel. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. The good news is that because you couldn't earn your salvation, the good news is that because you can't do anything to achieve salvation on your own, Jesus did it for you. Let me tell you how. The first thing that he did was he took your punishment. See, because you sinned, God has to punish you. You're condemned. But Jesus stood in your place. He was your substitute. He took your punishment. He took your death. But he rose again from the dead. He conquered sin. He conquered death by being rose again from the dead. Now, here's the other thing. Once we get our sins forgiven, like once Jesus pays the price for our sin, once our sin is washed away, we still have to have that perfection, that holiness, in order to meet God's standard to get into heaven. Jesus did that for you. Jesus lived a perfect life here on earth. The substitute, the sacrifice for our sin, had to be perfect. That's why Jesus is the only way that we can be saved, because he is the only one who lived a perfect life. God, in the flesh, came down, lived a perfect life because you couldn't. He did it for you, and he sacrificed himself so that he could give you his righteousness. So on that day, when you're standing at the gates of heaven, and God says to you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" It's not because I went to church every week. It's not because I read my Bible all the time. It's not because I did all kinds of mission work for you. While those things are good and they're important, it's not the reason. The reason is this: because Jesus loved me enough to die on the cross, to wash away my sins, and give me his righteousness. I would say 95 to 98% of the people that I ask, when you're standing there before heaven, and God asks you why I should let you in, almost everybody says, "Well, because I'm a good person." It's not what we do, it's what Jesus has done. That's so critically important. And that's why I talk a lot about being gospel-centered, focusing on the gospel, preaching the gospel to yourself, reminding yourself on a regular basis. It's what Jesus has done. It's his grace, his mercy in your life. You don't need to live a perfect life. You have to strive to live your life for Jesus. But always be reminded that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sin and gives you his righteousness. And that's what provides us with the victory. Romans 6, 9 and 10 says, "Christ rose from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. He died once to defeat sin, and now he lives for the glory of God." His resurrection provides us with new life. Jesus imputes or gives us his righteousness so that we could meet God's holy standard. Jesus died and rose again to provide you with forgiveness and eternal life. E in gospel. Everyone who trusts in Jesus alone has eternal life. Eternal life is God's gift to you when you express your faith in what Jesus has done for you. Now, here's something that is really important to be gospel-centered and gospel-focused, is to realize and trust in Jesus to take away your guilt, to take away your shame, to take away your sinfulness, to take away your pride, to take away the times in life where you think you're good enough, or you're better than somebody else. All of those things really cause us to to wander away from the true gospel of what Jesus is and what He has done for us. In John 11:25, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die like everyone else, they will live again." In Ephesians 2, it says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." So many of us struggle with trusting in Jesus. Many of us really believe that Jesus died for us to forgive us of our sins. But many of us really struggle to trust in Jesus for our life. To not be so consumed by the guilt and the shame. To be not so consumed with the things of life, whether it's anxiety or fear, or all of these things that just seem to hover over us like a cloud. We need to trust in Jesus. And what that means is to be content in Him, to pursue Him, to live life for Him and with Him. And that's the L in gospel. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. See, the beautiful thing about once you place your faith and trust in Jesus is He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit who lives within you to guide you, to encourage you, to empower you, to strengthen you, to help you focus on the gospel-centered life, to help you to be recalibrated so that you head in the right direction on a regular basis. The key here is for all of us to make sure that we live that life, that we believe in that life, that we're recalibrating our life at every moment throughout our day, practicing the presence of God to be encouraged and led by God. In Romans 8, it says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as He raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you." That's the good news. I want you to take this gospel acrostic, this little outline, and review it on a regular basis. God created us to live in community with Him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in Jesus for their salvation is saved. Life with Jesus begins now and lasts forever. That's something that you need to preach to yourself on a regular basis. Know it. Implant it in your heart and in your mind so that you can live the gospel-centered life and so that you can share the gospel-centered life. That's my challenge for you today. To learn and apply the gospel in your life. To learn it and apply it by telling yourself on a regular basis and sharing it with other people. Here's a challenge for you. An action for you to implement in your life. Memorize Galatians 2 verse 20. It's what Paul said. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live." In other words, what Paul is saying is, I no longer live for myself, but I live for Christ. Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. So learn that. Learn and apply it in your life each and every day. Secondly, share the good news of the gospel with others. Paul summed it up in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, when he wrote, "What I have received, I pass on to you as of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day." That's good news worth sharing. And in Romans 10, Paul says, "Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they be saved unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear unless someone tells them?" That someone needs to be you. Are you living a gospel-centered life? Can other people that you come in contact with on a regular basis, can they see something different in your life? Can you share life with them in a way that helps them to see the gospel, the good news? And then can you share it with them? Can you tell it to them? So that's the good news. An overview of the gospel. God's call on your life as a believer is to know it, to learn it, to apply it, and to share it. it may be time for some of us to recalibrate our faith. We're all on a journey. Maybe some of you are so far back that as you look forward, you can't recognize where home is. The gospel's for you. Jesus died for you. And if you just take that first step and work towards finding Jesus, that He will meet you there. For the rest of us who know where home is and we're headed and can tend to wander off, it's time to refocus, to be recalibrated, to be recentered on who Jesus is and to live our lives for Him. Those are things that we are challenged to do and to be as Christians. That's the Word of God, the good news of the gospel. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for the good news. I think, Lord, that we're so spoiled. We have so much good news in our life that sometimes we overlook the need for spiritual good news. And there's so many things in our life, Lord, that we tend to wander off center. We pray that Your Spirit would help us to recalibrate our life, to be reminded of the gospel in a way that helps us to focus on heading in Your direction. Lord, thank You for the forgiveness of sins, for paying the price for our sin. Thank You for giving us Your righteousness. Now, Lord, we pray that You would empower us by Your Spirit to live a gospel-centered life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.